Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.
Now, you're welcome back to Lunchtime Live with Kira here on News Talk. 53106 is the text line. Huge amounts of people talking about cocooning on our text line, including various pharmacists and people in retail and other types of businesses about older people coming in. This is from Sarah, who's a pharmacist. Kira, people think that they can be the exception to the rule. As a pharmacist, I've heard so many excuses as to why someone elderly has to be out. But we have a fantastic local volunteer system that are following social distancing very carefully and dropping off items. Most have families, but the volunteers are helping anyone that don't. I'm at a loss how to get the message to the elderly to stay home. I've heard about living through worse, but they were young and strong then. This is being lost. They need to take care. I think there's a lot of people not quite on board yet, and I know this is a period of adjustment, and I think we will get people more on board. A lot of people texting as well to suggest that the priest on Sunday Mass on RTE, which goes out every Sunday morning, I believe, would announce to people that they need to stay home, because that would impact maybe in a big way on a lot of people, and that's a good idea too. Use all the different ways of connecting to people and getting them on board and persuading them, I suppose, largely of the importance of all of this. Something entirely different. While COVID-19 and this sort of a lockdown continues to dominate our day-to-day lives, there are people who have additional challenges facing them because of their family situation. And we've had lots of emails from listeners who are having difficulty around separation and access to their own children at this time. And joining me on the line now to help with some of these queries and to give us some general advice about this is Deirdre Burke, family law solicitor with Frank Orpen Solicitors. Deirdre, you're very welcome.
Hi, Kira.
Can I start by reading one email to you? But we got more than one. But we might just sort of put a sample query to you to get an idea. It says, "Hi, Kira. Hope you're well. Glad to see you're making a good recovery. I'm a separated dad. I live in Westmeath. My two girls live with their mum in Dublin, and I'm really looking for clarification on the new stay-at-home directive. The new guidelines say stay at home." Stay at home, but you should be allowed to care for children. So what I'm asking is, can I travel up to Dublin and pick them up and bring them to my house? When Leo Varadkar was briefing us last Friday, he used the term travel only for a vital reason. The environment in Dublin where the children live is safe, and all members in that household are staying put and following HSE instructions. I live on my own and I'm staying put also. I'm travelling up to Dublin on Friday this week to collect them and bring them home, and I'm really interested in what your listeners think. It's not a vital situation perhaps, but it's vital to me. I'm sure there are lots of people in this situation. Thanks for the advice in advance. Stay safe and take care, everybody. I'd say that is fairly typical. A dad who doesn't live with his kids, he's due to see them for a weekend. He doesn't know if he qualifies or not to be allowed to see them. Where does he stand?
So, Kira, that is one of the most common questions that's been asked today, particularly after the new restrictions were introduced on Friday. And what I can say to people is that at the moment, there are some very good people, a combination of the Family Law Committee of the Law Society, together with the Family Lawyers Association, who are on this at the moment, trying to get absolute clarity for people so that people can make their arrangements and go forward. Because there is a little bit of confusion as to whether movement to allow children swap parents for access comes under a vital family reason or equally under a necessary trip for the care of children. So I expect and certainly hope that within, hopefully by the end of the day, but certainly within the next 24 hours, that we will have absolute clarity from government as to whether or not travelling for this purpose falls as an exemption.
So, Deirdre, are you saying currently we're not sure? We actually don't know?
Well, currently, as a family law practitioner, that is something I am seeking clarity on, and all my colleagues are in the same position. So at the moment, while we wait for that clarity, there are existing guidelines which are in place and which are available online to deal with family law custody and access situations. And Kira, the bottom line on it is health comes first and the guidelines come first, because we're in an unprecedented emergency situation, and everything has to come before, the health has to come before everything else. The one thing I would also say to you with regard to family law in general, and I've always adopted this view with my clients, is that it shouldn't be about rights, but when we're talking about children, it should be about responsibilities. And never more is that more essential now, that parents focus on their responsibilities to their children as opposed to enforcing their rights as to what or when they can have contact with their children. And if people put that issue first, putting the welfare of the children first, then generally the outcome that will follow will be the correct one.
Okay. Lots on this that we have, though, Deirdre. For example, another one here. Kira, I mailed the show before about access and custody. After Leo Varadkar moved to full lockdown, my ex has used this to deny me access to my kids. I fully expected this would happen, but it does need to be cleared up. What is amazing is she works in mental health, and this has caused more concerns. Anyway, that's getting into a bit of detail. We've had lots of that too. People are being denied access because the person maybe who has the kids full time says, no, we're in, or maybe they had them just for the weekend and they go, no, we're in full lockdown now, we're staying here and you're not getting them back or you're not getting to see them. Can access be denied on those grounds, do you think, or you're not sure?
No, what I do is I break that into two parts. The first is about the actual denial or the giving of access at the moment. And what I would say is that there is no obligation on people at the moment to comply with court orders that are in place or with voluntary arrangements that are in place if there is a valid health reason why children should not be moving for access. But if,
so you could use the lockdown as an excuse if you were that way inclined?
Well, unfortunately, if you're that way inclined and out of badness, you want to use the lockdown as an excuse. People may do that, and some people are doing that at the moment. What I would say to those people is that there's a very clear direction from the court's office that there is an expectation placed upon people at the moment that they facilitate alternative forms of access to people if children cannot actually go for physical access.
So there is Zoom, an expectation. FaceTime,
exactly.
Skype.
Yep. Okay. So that there will be an expectation that when the courts reopen and when the world goes back to normal, which it will, and if you end up in court where there has been access refused and there is a complaint about it, the judge will be looking at you asking, did you act reasonably? Was the decision that you made reasonable and safe in all of the circumstances? And there are provisions in the legislation that extra access can be given to make up for access, which has been denied, particularly in circumstances where access has been denied in an unreasonable fashion.
Potentially, you could say you didn't allow the dad, say, to see his children and he was upset about it. And he said, well, I want them for the summer then, when, or some such. This is a very interesting one, Deirdre. I wonder what you make of it. Hi, Kira. I hope the COVID-19 has had little impact on you and I hope you feel better, Sue, because we need you. I need you. Thank you very much. I'm not sure what you say, I'm to you. I'm a mum of two children, 9 and 13, in the process of separation through mediation. My ex hasn't fully moved out of our home, but has also been living somewhere else that I don't know. That's not my choice. In the light of COVID-19 and the need for social distancing, I tried to reason with him, saying simply that he should choose one place to live amid this virus scare. He said no, and when I asked him why, he says he doesn't want to and that the risks are like the common cold or flu. His arrogance doesn't surprise me, but I don't know what to do. Please ask listeners or your expert what I should do. Lots of love from my kitchen to your hot press. Please keep me anonymous. Lots of love back to you, to your kitchen, and I hope you're well and I see your difficulty. I'm going to read between the lines there, dear. That sounds like somebody maybe with a second relationship who is staying over a couple of nights a week and the girlfriends or what have you, and then come back to see the kids and the ex-wife. I would be concerned about that too, if I was that person. What can be done or what should be done there?
Well, my view on that would be is that that person who's choosing to move between two households is in breach of the restrictions that are in place at the moment. And I'd say to them that family law aside and risk to their own children aside, which they're actually presenting if they're choosing to go back and forth like that. But all of that aside, they don't have a choice at the moment. The government direction is clear that they should not be moving in that fashion. And there is emergency legislation in place to enforce the restrictions. So on the one hand, I would say from a legal perspective, they're in breach of the existing guidelines. And that would be a gar the matter if they're moving outside of their home to places where they shouldn't be moving. But from a family law perspective, their choices are potentially putting their children and their household at risk. And that is something that they should really take on board and reconsider their choices about.
Goodness, yeah. I mean, I can see all that one would, I suppose, would infuriate you if you were the mum in that situation, kind of going, what, you're spending half your week here and half your week, and clearly doesn't know where, which is why I'm suspecting a second relationship, doesn't know where that person is. And why would you move to just live on your own somewhere? It wouldn't, you know what I mean? You'd be one or the other.
The other thing that I've a little bit that I've
seen. Is that
seen
a solicitor's letter job or a Garda call or what is that?
Well, I would suggest it's probably both. If there is a genuine fear that there is a risk, I would make a phone call to the local Gardaí for guidance. And if the person also has a solicitor, I would certainly make contact them with them immediately so that a letter can be sent. Like, solicitor's offices are still working. When we're all in this different scenario where I'm talking to you looking at my dog sitting on the deck at the moment. But, you know,
I'm surrounded by duvets and blankets.
we're working, we're all accessible. Letters are still going out. Court applications are still being drafted. There's very much an opportunity for people to take action if they need to. And the other side of it is, if there are people, like we know, and I can't impress enough upon people, that the courts are particularly still open for Domestic Violence Act applications. If people are in unsafe situations, the courts are still taking those applications. And also, if there is an urgent situation where perhaps you feel that the health of a child is at risk, there is a method through which people can email the court offices, and if they contact their solicitors can do this for the court officers to assess whether or not a situation falls under an urgent category. And if it is deemed to be urgent, it will be dealt with.
Okay. Look, thank you for that. One last thing before I let you go, Deirdre, because this is interesting. It says, Kira, I'm not a lawyer, but as far as I know, we have no government. That's not true. So we have no law limiting movement that has been passed. We are all doing this on a voluntary basis. So there's no reasons why parents living apart shouldn't have access to their children. Will you just address that about the legal aspects of what the government has brought in?
Well, these are guidelines that we need to follow, but emergency legislation has been passed to allow the Gardaí to enforce these restrictions. So I would suggest that people move outside these guidelines at your peril.
It isn't all voluntary, really.
No, it's not voluntary. Like we are being requested as a nation to abide by these recommendations in the interest of our overall health. And the vast majority of people are abiding by that. But it's clear, and you can see from the Garda checkpoints that are out there at the moment, that the Gardaí are taking this very seriously. And you can see from people who are being refused bail at the moment over threatening Gardaí in inappropriate fashion that the courts are taking this very seriously. So I think people just need to have a little bit of cop on in the long-term interest. This is only a short-term scenario and we will come through it.
Yeah, lots of people saying that the guards are doing a fantastic job along with everyone else on the front line too. And I've seen guards all around my locality lately in the last the last 2 days, because that's all I've been out. But look, Deirdre, thank you very much for that indeed. That is Deirdre Burt there from Frank Orpin Solicitors, family law practitioner. 53106, we'll talk about more. We're going to take a break now and we'll be back after this.
Lunchtime Live with Kira Kelly on News Talk.